Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your word today. We are absolutely blessed to be alive today. We are absolutely proud to be in service today. Lord, you could have chosen another way, but you didn't. You saw fit for us to be alive. You saw fit for us not to be assigned to no one's hospital bed. And so for that, God, we give you praise. Lord, we don't know how blessed we are. Lord, we take for granted the air we breathe. We take for granted for the places we live. We take for granted the jobs we have. Lord, we take people for granted that you have placed in our lives. Lord, we honor you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this service. May you canvass this service. Lord, may you prick the hearts of your people. May you open the eyes of your people. Help them see, God, you and your word. Lord, I thank you for using me in such an intricate way, God, that your people don't see me, they see you. Father, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. We honor you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God bless all our visitors today. Amen. We welcome you. Amen. When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
Let's start at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I want to read verse 7 again. And the Lord said, pay attention to this key. And the Lord said, not you, not me, but the Lord. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cries because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Y'all can take your seats if you want to. Now, verse 7. It's two verses, two things that stuck out here with me. He said in verse 7, he's seen something, and then he heard something. I think oftentimes we know God to be God, and because he's invisible, we don't think he see or hear anything. In other words, what he's saying is that he's acquainted with you and our sorrows. In other words, there's nothing that gets by God. Anything that you and I deal with, he's seen it already. And it's not that he just saw it, but he heard it. So if you think by any chance that God is ignoring you, he already heard it. Not that he just heard it, but he also seen it. In fact, he tells Moses he heard something and he saw something. Now, this is the thing. Moses was not in the area where the Egyptians were in at the time of slavery. Egypt represents slavery. Moses was nowhere near. He was in Midian taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro at that time. But the children of Israel is in Egypt at that time. But the Lord said, I want to name it that way. The Lord said, I seen it and I heard it. Now, here's the thing. Moses is over here in Midian, minding his own business, tending to the sheep of his father-in-law. Meanwhile, the children of Israel is on this side going through slavery, abuse, and emotional disturbance. Lord have mercy. That's why you can't limit your daddy. Wow. Look, Moses is on one end. The children of Israel is on the other end, but God is everywhere at one time. But if you notice, he says, I come down to deliver my people from the hand of Pharaoh. But it wasn't God himself that did it. Moses had to do it. But Moses was not in the vicinity where the slavery was going on. Yeah, look what I'm trying to say here is that when you and I are praying, God heard it, he's seen it, but he ain't doing nothing about it. He's going to send somebody else to do it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because what we fail to realize, God deals with relationships. Some of us, what we're doing, we are sitting down and we're waiting for the sky to open up. Well, we forget that Jesus already came. He already went back up. So he's working through people. This invisible God knows how to become visible through you. Oh, God, let me take my time on this, because we forget that the vessel next to you can be your deliverer. Yeah. God heard their cry. Obviously, their cry wasn't verbalized what they was asking for. He heard it through their cry, not what they were saying. Y'all, Lord have mercy. I think, look. You think that you got to come with this flowery speech for God to answer. Because what if you don't know how to pray? What if no one ever taught you how to communicate or have a dialogue with your daddy? But if you got a cry, he can hear that cry. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And with that cry, he must answer. Yes. But he doesn't answer on you and our time. He answers based on the appointed time. Yes. Keep this in mind. The children of Israel were enslaved for 400 years. But according to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, that's the first time he heard their cry. But I wonder if he heard it before, but he just decided that he was going to do something about it in verse 7. How long you been crying and how long you been enslaved, but you have not saw a deliverer come to your rescue? What leads you and I to believe that God doesn't exist? Oh, man, come on. Because the thing is, when we expecting to get out of some situation, we expecting for it right now. But it wasn't the appointed time. because Moses was in a whole separate location, had nothing to do with the cry. But God sent him and told him, I need you to go back where you came from. See, what we don't realize, Moses was a part of the Egyptian customs. He grew up in it. He understood it, but he was no longer a part of it because he committed murder. So he was on the wanted list. Here's the thing. It didn't say Moses cried. It said the children of Israel cried. But while God was delivering the children of Israel, he was delivering Moses too. So even your deliverer needs deliverance. Oh, Lord. Oh, man, I love this right here. I'm going to take my time on this because God, look at this here. See, because ultimately when we think the person who's delivering us, they God, because they delivering us. But they need deliverance just as well as you do. But the difference is y'all need two different types of deliverance. I'm free in one area, but you bound in another. Oh, Lord. In other words, God was saying that our relationships has to come in some sort of in sync because your deliverance is tied to mine. Even though I might be the one delivering you. But in why I'm delivering you, you're delivering me as well. Because I can't deliver you unless you let me deliver you. Let me read verse 7 here again. And the Lord said, I love this right here. I'm glad it wasn't no one else that said it. In this juncture, because this was of dire need. And the Lord said, I have surely seen. That way we know God got body parts. He can see. The oppression, thank God he took ownership here, of my people who are in slavery. Now, y'all see, y'all think it's just a place. Slavery. Oh, Lord, okay. You ever heard the saying where it says, people live rent-free in your mind? Yes. But it ain't just people who can live free. Places can live rent-free, too. Locations could be rent-free as well. Look, the children of Israel, they were delivered, but they wasn't really delivered. Okay, in other words, you know what? The children of Israel was giving God mixed signals. It's almost like a partner. If you love me, why am I not seeing that? You're giving off mixed signals. Not, in other words, it becomes confusing for the relationship that I'm involved with. You crying to your father, but you're giving him mixed relations. You're giving him mixed signals on what you're asking him to deliver you from. In other words, you and I are picking and choosing what we want God to deliver us from. No, God, here, God, this is what I want to do. I want to stay in bondage for this, but I want you to free me from this. This is not an arrangement. When God delivers you, he wants to do it total deliverance, yes, sir, not part of it. Amen. What's the sense of he delivering you from where you came from, but your mind's still bound? Yes. Now, God is giving you a mixed blessing. No. When God blesses you, he has to do it because he got to stop being God. If he has to do it partially, then he got to stop being God. Because when God decides that he's going to bless you, he's going to do it all the way. He has to make sure that he starts it and finish it. That's why the Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our what? Faith. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, the issue is that the children of Israel cried, but they ain't cried with faith. The reason, Let me see it this way. God answered the children of Israel cry, not based on the cry. He answered it because of the promise he made Abraham. He told Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, if I'm not mistaken, he says, surely your people are going to be in bondage in a place of that there's not theirs for 400 years. But he says, after that, I shall surely do what? Deliver them. In other words, God put a timetable on the deliverance. He had to ensure that he fulfilled the journey. He already told, matter of fact, Abraham, at the time when God told him, it was a dark place Abraham was going through. He says, after the 400 years have expired, I'm going to deliver. No, in other words, what I'm saying is that some of us have to stay in the situation long enough until we're at a point that when we do get delivered, we would appreciate the deliverance. Yes. Because if you could come out of something overnight, you'll go right back into it. For some of us, 24 hours is good enough. But for some others, need to stay there for a few years. So when you do come out, that could be your ministry. That's why you see a lot of pastors who might be called, but they look, what happens is they rush behind this pulpit, but they ain't fully delivered. Wow. you can't be a husband of one wife and you still pimping on the other end. That's just not going to work because you still got some issues in your past that you still trying to get delivered from, but you trying to deliver God's people and you taking their money. Oh, no, see, this is what God got. Moses, let me go back here. Moses. I come down, which means if you go, I come in you. In other words, what he's saying is that if you go, I already embodied your body, but I can't do it until you go. So what happens is you could be stopping somebody else's blessing because you refuse to go. You and I, we tend to make all of the excuses why we're not moving forward. We got all excuses in the world. Well, I don't have enough this, and I don't have enough that. Do you know God had enough too? Lord, but he says, in other words, let me go back. He says, the Lord has said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know they're sorry. Verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good land, and to a large land, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. The issue is here is that this deliverance wasn't overnight. If I could be truthful here, we pray for deliverance, but we still stuck. Here, watch this. God got them out, but not. Can I be real here? Scripture tells it. It proves it. They didn't even get to the promises. Not one of them. Except Joshua and Caleb. But not one of them into the promise. So they were stuck in no man's land. They was no longer under the hand of Pharaoh. But they was neither were they in the promises. So they was in between. How in the world you feel like getting an in-between blessing? Either you got the job or you don't. You took the interview, but you're in between because you're waiting on the call. So in other words, you didn't get the job, but you did apply. You did apply for the faith, but you didn't get the manifestation of what your faith put in place. Okay, I said it too fastly. Did I say it too quickly? Okay, what I'm saying is that we're giving God all these mixed signals. In other words, if you're going to pray, make up your mind what you want God to do. Lord help Moses. Lord help him. Because he was trying to nearly take them from the... God. Moses says, I already been there. Moses wasn't enslaved because he was the one that was over the slave at one point in time. But the reason why, because he had a help most wanted list. Moses was escaping. He was an ex-con. He was in a place until God says, you know what? Look what God did all at one time. He told Abram, your people are going to go be in a place that's not theirs, but after time has expired, I'm going to deliver them out. Meanwhile, Moses committed murder. He did partial deliverance because he took up based on what he saw, the abuse, and he fled because he knew his life was in danger. All this was going on all at one time, and God was just watching until the time expired. I think when are you going to get tired? Because God already been tired, but I don't think they was as tired as God was. They had enough, but God even had enough to the point that he had to take another man from another location to bring them back to get his people out from bondage. We watch bondage all the time. We see slavery all the time. But what are you going to do about it? You're going to keep murmuring and complaining? Are you going to keep expressing? But what are you going to do about it? You're crying. Now God delivered you. After the cry, what is it that we need to do next? It's almost like a Kaepernick. You're kneeling, but what's after the kneel? You're kneeling. The kneeling is a form of humility. Wow. This is what we do. After we come up, what's next? But when we come up, we still got the mindset of kneeling. God says what? Move forward. Look, I might be ahead of my schedule here. But let's go over here. Let me go to Exodus 14. I'm going to deal with a few verses in here. Y'all just bear with me here. Let me read verse 1. Let me read verse 1 and 2 in Exodus. I'm kind of moving over a little bit here. Now the Lord spoke to Moses. You all have it. Amen. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Okay, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn in a camp before Paharoth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon, and you shall encamp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh was saying of the children of Israel that they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Do you see how your oppressors think of you? They think when you leave that you won't be taken care of. Oh, God. In other words, when a person got you under their thumb, they think you can't survive without them. Like you need them. But what the problem is of the oppressor, they don't know who God is. But you do. At least partial. Because as long as you keep giving mixed signals, then you are showing your partial, you're not being, look, the reason why they're not convinced, because you're not. If you're going to leave your slave man, your oppressor, the person who's got you under their thumb, you got to convince yourself that I know who I'm getting ready to serve. He already told them. See, Pharaoh, man, I tell you what, the prideful man, he's going to talk about, well, they not going to make it. You know how many people tell you you're not going to make it? You leave my household, you're not going to survive. Who going to pay your bills? I've been taking care of you. You have never worked another in your day of your life. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. But you know what? I don't care. You know what happens is, I'm going to tell you about men. They want to keep their women home. I'm going to take care of you. You just stay home. You know why? Because it puts them in a form of bondage. Because as soon as they want to get free, no, you don't need to work. I'm going to take care of you. Because then they're going to call all the shots. You know what they're doing behind the scenes? They're doing other things so you don't make sure you catch them doing what they need to do. So what? I don't care. You don't want it to come back. That's fine with me. But I'm telling you what, the person knows what you're doing. Yes. You can manipulate them with the money you providing, but that's not changing the fact the way you're treating them. Yes. Don't tell me you don't know somebody who's like that. Women, please do not get caught up in the scheme. You are a career-oriented woman. You have gifts in you. That doesn't mean you need to stay home because your husband tell you you can stay home. Come on now, come on. God made you in both of you dominion. What do you think you're doing that you're going to be enslaved? God put some gifts in you, not just to be taking care of children all the time and cooking his meals. And so when he come home, you got everything all provided. Who are you now? So that's a form of slavery. Say what you want. But the difference is with that one is that you're in covenant with it now. Let me read here. Verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army and over the Egyptians, that he may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So now, verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. And the hearts of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, we have done things. We have done this. And that the that we have seen, that we have let the children of Israel go from serving us. Verse 6, so he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, also took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains of every of captains over every one of them. Now look at verse 8. This is what I really want to get to. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with, look at this now, with what? Boldness. Look at verse 10, though. The latter part. Look at the latter part, the B clause. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Look at this now. Verse 8, you show your position of being bold. Verse 10, you very afraid. You tell me that's not mixed signals. How are you going to be bold in one end, but be very afraid in another? That means you ain't ready to come out now. That means you don't know who your God is, but you in church all the time, but you don't know your God. Jesus, man. See, I'm trying to get y'all because y'all so programmed on being in attendance of church, but you ain't fulfilled. This is why we got to get out of the church, religious mindset. We have no type of, what is this? What's going on? It's fine. This is the problem here. This is the problem. Okay. You praying with boldness, you getting free, but then on the other hand, as soon as you see something, now you're afraid. That's personality issues. Make up your mind. Are you going to be a bastard or a daughter? Are you going to be a son or are you going to be a bastard? Because you can't be both. You need to make up your mind. If you decide that you're going to live for the Lord, you and I must understand you're going to go through certain things. I'm not going to just tell you you're not going to ever go through nothing when you give your life to Jesus. You're going to experience certain things, but in your experience, you got something to offer. And it ain't just being at home and being in bondage, crying and mumbling and complaining. You got to make up your mind. If you're going to be delivered, then be delivered. Oh, shucks, man. I can feel y'all. Y'all don't look like y'all like me right now. But that's fine, because the thing is, I already know you've been praying. You've been crying. Some of you have been crying more than you want to even express. Yeah, I see you. You've been crying, but you're too ashamed to express what you've been crying about. Because you got this persona that you have to be someone that you're really not. Because you don't want people to think of something of you that you the truth of the matter is, they dealing with things too. They just too ashamed to tell you what they dealing with. But if y'all can be open, remember what I said? Your deliverance is in that next person's deliverance. And their deliverance is in your deliverance. But if we could get stop being so churchy and so religious, we can experience the Lord of the harvest. Jesus, man. Look. I'm going to go here. Verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He did it on purpose. Why he's doing it? Because he's trying to test and see where you are. Really, it's not that God don't know who you are. He want to know, do you know who you are? He already know. You're not fooling him, but he wants you to know this is who you really are. You bold in certain aspects, but you weak in others. You tenacious in one hand, but you harmless in another. The things that you need to be tenacious is the thing that you're weak in. And vice versa. Some places in our lives, we are a little aggressive and excessive in certain things. Take that energy and put it to the faith energy. And some things that we need to be humble in, then we need to be humble and scale back. But this is the thing. The mind is confused on who you are, what you're asking God to do, and when he does it, you still want to scale back. He's trying to deliver you, not tomorrow, now. No. So you're getting this more. No, he's not trying to, you're not living 400 more years. If you are, look, he's trying to deliver you right now. Say this to me, right now. No, not 400 years from today. He says, I'm trying to deliver you now. See, what you're doing is you're looking at this Moses and this Israel. No, he says, you're the one that I want to bring out right now. So look at this verse 1 here. He says they were in between the camp of Paharoth and between Migdal. So in other words, they did leave the destination, but they wasn't in the promises because they were still in between. They didn't even get into the promises. They were in the wilderness 40 years, way past the time that God had ordained. You think God going to deliver you and still have you waiting for your promises? Who's holding the promises up is you. Not him. Because the journey was supposed to be 11 days, not 40 years. The reason why they spent 40 years is because they kept complaining and moaning and crying. They even got to the point where they started to argue with Moses. Didn't we tell you the word that we want to go back and serve the Egyptians? Is Pharaoh living rent free? Absolutely. When you make statements like that, you're really saying he's still up in here. Even though he's not in your life. Yes. You still being in burden with the person, even though they're not in your life. You have been detached, but you still attached some kind of way. They left a birthmark on you. In other words, they stained your mind to having you think you can live without them. Jesus. Jesus, man. Look, let me go here. Let me go to verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. Let's read this together. The Lord will what? Fight for you. And you what?
Shall hold your peace.
Okay. For those of you who like to be cussing during the time, you confused. Okay. And the Lord will fight for you, right? And you shall what? Hold your peace. Now look at this, verse 15. And the Lord said to who?
Moses.
Why do you what?
Cry to me.
Uh-huh. Tell the children of Israel what? And that's what I'm trying to tell DCM to do what?
Go forward.
That's what I'm trying to tell the visitors to do what?
Go forward.
But if you're standing still, how are you going to go?
Forward.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we are there. When you leave up out of here, you don't leave the word in here. You take the word that you receive from here and take it with you. Here, watch this now. You going forward, but don't leave the word behind. You cannot go to your journey without the vehicle. Take the vehicle for you to get you to your journey. So with this regard, you must take the word, which is your what? Transportation to get you to go forward. This is the problem. We leave church. Okay, fine. Leave the church, but just take the word with you. The building is going to stay here. Take the word with you. In order for you to move forward, you got to take something to go with you. How is it like you going traveling without suitcase? Now, you on vacation, but you don't have no luggage. So, that's like an oxymoron. Take the word with you. So now you have something invisible that no one can see that gives you permission to the promises. Everybody don't need to know what your promises are because certain things are eternal on purpose. No one need to see what you're about to, no one need to see your next move. All they need to do is see you moving. Even if you don't have no money in it. They don't have no money. How are they going to move forward? You don't know who I serve. I got something on the inside of me. Man, look, I don't have the dollar or the password code to the bank account because I don't have one, but I have a 4:19 scripture in my heart. It says, God shall supply all my what? Needs. According to what? His. Not yours. Not mine. Not the church you're a part of. But not your husband who's paying all the bills. But according to who?
His
needs. According to his riches and what? His glory. You standing, you and I are standing on his promises for our life. Here's what you need to understand. It's not even about you. It's the promises that God made your forefathers. He promised Abram, I'm going to bring them out. He already made that promise. You think God's going to go back on his word? He's told some of y'all forefathers, grandparents, patriarchs, matriarchs that didn't go along. But guess what? They already saw you making it. The problem is you don't see yourself making it. But God already promised Abram before he went to the grave, yeah, they're going to go into slavery, but they're not going to stay there. Why is it that still somewhere that we ain't supposed to be? Now you're wondering why we are frustrated, because we're not made to be caged up. We're not made to stay in the zoo. God Almighty, we are made to be delivered. If you are somewhere you ain't supposed to be, that's why you're frustrated, because you don't see the promises. You don't see no vision. You don't see no tranquility. You don't see anything but where you are. So, yeah, of course you're going to be frustrated, because you know deep down in your heart you ain't supposed to be where you are. And it shouldn't take a pastor to tell you that. But if you open up the word, you can find out, I am the children of Israel, and the Lord wants me free. He's telling me to, verse 15, go forward. Maybe we should change the title. Go forward. Because some of you still in stalemate, sitting still, waiting for the heavens. I told you God works through people. You waiting for the sky to open up so God to deliver your husband or your job or whatever you trying to believe God for. God works through people. You think God going to come down and marry you? No, he's got to send somebody. They say he found you. See, God, if you're asking God for a husband, you think God's going to do it himself? No, don't. Let's be honest here. Come on. Logically, you think God is going to come down to heaven? Matter of fact, he already went to glory. He's sitting on the right side of the Father. You think he's going to come down back just to marry you? When he's got to go through somebody in the earth who's going to obey his voice. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, women. Your husband, if he ain't obeying the voice of God, then he's not going to ask you. Amen. So watch this. Your husband's still in checkmate, stalemate. He's still in bondage because he ain't obeying. There was a story I came across some time ago. And it was this gentleman who wanted to ask his fiance to marry him, and he kept bailing out. He kept bailing out. He had the ring, and he kept bailing out, and he lost the ring. They were going fishing, and this is a true story. They were going fishing, and somehow that well, some fish had the ring in its mouth. Now you tell me, when God means business, he would even have a well do the deliverance. Because a human can't do it. When we've been made in his image and his likeness, how is it that an animal can obey his voice before we do? Because he refused to do what he was supposed to do. That's why there's an issue, a disconnect with a lot of people, men in particular, because you're supposed to be leading the way, that you're not obeying the voice of God. So I wonder, what begs the question, if the man ain't in place, if they're not taking a rightful post based on what they see society and not reality, then where would that leave you all? See, y'all looking at this as there's different forms of slavery, different forms, different. It's not always financial. It's not always the job and the boss who's... it's not always that. Sometimes it's just through certain little private things that you challenge with. But I tell you what thing, if God heard it, he has to send somebody to do it.
That's right.
Keep this in mind. Anything you need is always through somebody. But when it's somebody come, can you recognize he's the deliverer? Because the children of Israel certainly didn't recognize Moses was their, what, deliverer. They fought him every chance they got, spit in his face, tell me, didn't I tell you I'm supposed to go back? There's no graves in this place. They fuss, they argue, and they did all kinds of, didn't I just tell you God has enough too? He has enough of some of the things we, do you think God wants you going through what you're going through? The Pharaoh put his people through enough. God says, now you're putting me through enough. You putting a servant that I put in place over your life through enough. Now, that's the problem, though. We do not recognize who our deliverer is. Because we're still looking for God to open up the sky. That's religious mindset. Because you don't recognize that God deals with covenant relationships on purpose. Do you not know I might have something you need? And you got the answer to what I'm looking for. But if you don't recognize you, then I'm still bound. Why do you think God built a community like this on purpose? Because he knew the person next to you is the one that got the blessing for you. But if they're so stubborn and they want to keep seeing you go through, they stuck and you stuck. Now we got a bunch of church people stuck. But they praying hallelujah. They singing hallelujah. They reading the scriptures hallelujah. But they don't want to obey the voice when God told you go forward. And look at, can I get real? A lot of times the people that's supposed to bless you don't have to like you. And you don't have to like them. So there's a problem here. Y'all don't like each other, so y'all can't accept and receive from one another. So who's working the work now? That's the devil. He's going to work through the relationships to keep you and I divided because he know I need something from you. But in the same token, you need something from me. But both of us need what? Deliverance. I tell people, you only a relationship of prayer away from your breakthrough. Here's another thing. I know I'm going to get a little far here. You only one relationship away from becoming a millionaire. One relationship. You think it's one. I said one relationship away. Now, they're not going to always give you the million, but they'll give you the ideas. Yes. And give you the resources on who to talk to become that. Yes. Now, I don't think everybody here is meant to be a millionaire. There are certain people that's not meant to be one. But those who are supposed to help the lack thereof to ensure that you don't have a need. If you got a need, they got what you need. We got to stop getting into our prideful attitude that we think that we are all island by ourselves. I don't need you. You don't need, you notice the mindset we carry. You taking a position that you don't need something when God put it in the mandate. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So what you're doing is you're going against what he's placed in you, what he's put in covenant. We can't keep going against covenant and think that we're going to be somewhere we need to be. Every time you turn around, you need to keep looking. Am I breaking covenant today? That means you're just holding up yours and mine from getting to the promises. Am I breaking covenant today? Let me see. Thou shalt not what? Steal. Thou shalt not what? Kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. If you keep breaking all of these, how are we going to fulfill the mandate? This is something for us to think about, to take this word with you. Hopefully, it'll stay with you long enough to make sure it break up all of that mindset that you and I have come to terms with. You signed a contract you was never supposed to sign. Break the contract and take on the contract that God placed inside. We don't sign the right contract. So therefore, you are not going to always be unfulfilled just because. If I can be truthful and honest, let me ask, let me, let, let, let me, close your eyes, everybody, real quick. Let me see. Let me take a poll real quickly. How many people are really depressed? Raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed, though. I'm only asking that with just due respect. And ask yourself. Be honest with yourself. No, I'm not depressed. No, look, it don't take much. Be honest with yourself. I'm depressed. I'm oppressed. Now, that's another term now. Oppressed and depressed is two separate things. Are you oppressed? Anyway, are you depressed? Let me just ask. Oh, yeah, okay. Oppressed, depressed. Okay. Do you feel like you're in some sort of slavery? I just need you to raise your hands. If you kind of, I'm not sure, then that means you're not free. Because one person, the one thing about freedom, you know you're free. Why? What did Jesus say? Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Okay, so I'm going to go back to this question again. Keep your eyes closed. How many people here are oppressed or depressed or feeling somewhat sort of slaved? Now ask yourself, are you supposed to be in this position? No. Okay, here's a question now. Another time I want to ask this. Have you prayed for your deliverance in that area? Have you? Are you convinced that you can be delivered? Yes. But let me ask you a question. How are you looking when the deliverance comes? Because the children of Israel, they cried too, but they didn't really want to be delivered. See, this is what I'm asking you, because the thing is, we can go ahead and pray with you, but I'm asking you truthfully, do you really want to be delivered? Or are you okay being comfortable in the skin that you're living in? Are you okay living under the terms that's been afforded to you? The person who's really tired of it more than you are is your God, because the fact is, he didn't create you to be in this position. Now, I did say, and I have to say this, because some things are just not overnight process. Some things comes with times, and it has terms, but there's some promises. Yeah, Lord, the Lord says, I made promises to some patriarchs and matriarchs in your family. He made a promise. He made that promise, and guess who's going to stick to it? Regardless, you can't even do nothing about it. You can do everything you're trying to do, but I'm going to tell you something. When God makes his promise, he got to fulfill it. Yes. What I'm going back to is so y'all can understand that it's not even about you. It's the promises he made to your matriarchs and the patriarchs of your family, because they couldn't enter in based on for whatever reason. But God says, I'm going to let your generation go through. So he made them the promise, and you are that promise. You. I said you. I ain't say your next generation. I say you. The promise is in you. So therefore, something is wrong with the picture. Why are you where you are? So therefore, you're not moving forward like you're supposed to. You stand, you know what? Some of you need to change the company you keep. It's just as simple as that. You're dealing with too many minuses of people. Mindsets and minuses. Look, you're dealing with too many minuses of people, including your relatives. Y'all want to get on. You got to realize this. I don't care. You can get mad with me or you get ready. Just because they're your relative, that doesn't mean they ain't being used. Well, I love them. Yeah, but do you love God more? Okay, so this is where it comes down to making it. Remember I told you a few weeks ago, everybody ain't fit for the kingdom? Remember when I said some time ago when Jesus made that good statement, very pure statement, and his mother and his brothers came in, why he was doing the assignment of his father? What did he say? Who is my mother? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? It's the one that what? Do the will of my father. So if you got family members that's not doing the will of your father, then matter of fact, why are you claiming them? Why? Why are you claiming them then? You claiming them for what? What are you claiming? What are you claiming? This is theology here. No. This is like a 101 psychiatric. We got to do some things about this because we ain't getting enough of this in the church. Why are you claiming relatives that's not doing the will of your father? Why are you not doing nothing about it? You co co-signing for what they're doing. I don't care how you want to slice it. That's what you're doing. And you're in agreement for what they're doing. So how are you going to ask God to deliver you when you still want to be slaves like they are? People talk a good talk until it's time. They cried. Chapter 3, they cried. God heard it. He seen it, and he heard it to the point that he had to send an individual who was bound himself. He was an escape he himself. He was wanted for murder himself. So God had to deliver them and him at the same time because he knew if he go back to Egypt, that his life was in danger. So then he had a fear. But God got something for you as well. Look, the fact is, do you recognize when he's coming to you? Do you recognize when you in somebody's life and God got his hand on that individual, you have to recognize, it may not be everybody, but I can see something in you. You might have the answer I need, but you won't get it until you respect it. You got some people in your life, they're not going to get the best version out of you because they don't respect you. A lot of times people want the rewards, but they don't want to do what your own daddy tell you to do. They don't want to do that. They want to reap the harvest, but they don't want to go through the pain to receive the harvest. So therefore, I'm going back to you real quickly here. I know you probably say, what in the world is he talking about? What I'm saying to you is that there's something in you that they're not going to ever get the best version of you. Ever. Because they don't respect the God in you. And you can't convince them because they're just not going to do it. People talk a good game. They do. They talk a good game. You know, it's like, I'm going to stop this alcoholism. I'm going to stop this crack cocaine. I'm going to stop. You just take me to rehab. They'll do all of that. They'll do all of that. They know the song and dance. Until you tell them you ain't giving them no more money. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are afraid of deliverance. I don't know why. They feel comfortable staying in slavery. They feel comfortable with it because you know why? That's all they know. They don't want to go to the unfamiliar territory with the land flowing with milk and honey. Stay right where you are. I had enough living in the projects. I had enough living off the food. I did not want to go back to that lifestyle ever again in my life. I'm sorry. Look, I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm not going back. Amen. Just because you start off one way don't mean you have to stay there. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
God was trying to deliver them in only God-like fashion. They running from their life. They thought they was free for a little while until they saw the camp of 600,000 chosen chariots chasing them. Then they saw the Red Sea in front of them and the army behind them. Yeah, I guess you got a point to be scared. Where else we gonna go? But even God told Moses, don't cry to me. What did I put in your hand? See, the resources is in your hand. He said, take the same rod that I trained you with back in chapter 3 and go ahead and split the two. See, we don't even know the power is in your hand. You just ain't using it. Split it. Don't be crying to me, Moses. See, Moses even cried. But don't cry. Don't cry to me. What I placed in your hand, use what I gave you. Split that. Split it. Look, right now, you're in an emergency situation. You don't see no way out. But God put something in you that you can use right about now. No, what you don't need to do is go and pray and ask God to deliver you. He says, no, I already put it in your hand. Do something about what I gave you. So to ensure that the people would never, ever bother them again. God says, I'm going to personally harden Pharaoh's heart so he can chase them on purpose. Mm-hmm. Because when they get delivered and go to the other side, there's still a wall that I have not congealed. But when you get finished, when you get delivered properly, fully, totally, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make sure I combine those two walls that are split so you can walk over that dry ground so they can drown so you will never see them again. Look at this now. After all of that, they still wanted to go back. Tell me you don't need no counseling sessions after that. After that miracle, why would you want to go? Who are you going to go serve? They're gone. That's why God is going to close some doors on purpose, if you don't go forward. Hear me when I say this, and I don't even know exactly what all this is for you, but he's going to do it on purpose. He's going to close doors on purpose. Hear me when I say it. On purpose. I don't know what at all. He's going to close it on purpose because you dare not to go forward like you're supposed to. My God. You know, some people don't want to come back to me because they don't want to hear the really good truth. They don't want to hear my truth. They don't want to hear the truth. But truthfully, the fact is, what do you want me to do? Lie to you? If you come into my presence, you're going to get this word regardless. Amen. Amen. Like it or not, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. Get mad with me, but I'm going to see you free tomorrow. Now, I want to talk to some of those people who tell me they was depressed. Are you really? Stand up on your feet real quickly. Are you really, 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 really down? Do you really want to get free? Because it ain't going to just be the laying of the hands. There's got to be some action you need to put to this. Action. Lights, camera, and what's the last word? Action. Now, make some action and come up to this altar if you really, really, really serious about your deliverance. Because you're not going to get delivered just sitting around and playing around and mumbling and crying and complaining and about back and forth. God, look, man, see, you got to do something about it. You. God says you got to do something. What did he tell the children of Israel? Moses, don't cry to me. Go forward. Go forward. God put a deliverer in your life and you're not even utilizing me. I'm the person, that, part of it. I don't know all of you, but I'm the person at this point of time. What have you taken from me from the period of time you've known me? What have you? Because some of you come to me and ask me for advice. I give it to you and I don't even see you utilizing it. Amen. Then what you're going to do is come back to me and I'm going to tell you, what did I just tell you before? You're not going to take up unnecessary time today. Not today. No, I have to. You're not going to take that unless. What did I give you? What's in your hand? Use what's in your hand. And I know, man, I know. A lot of people are so depressed, even in the church. Yes. You know why? Because they ain't being taught how to get delivered. I almost believe that the pastor wants them to stay there so he can keep them needing him. That's what I believe. Because how in the world that your people been under you so long, but they still bound? In fact, you got to ask yourself, why are you still in that location when you know you bound? Because a diet will change that. Look, a proper diet, if you take it, can change. You just got to accept it. But just don't keep coming back and forth, because that means you're conflicting. You're giving me mixed messages, like mixed signals, like partners do to other partners. I'm not understanding. You know my love language, but you're giving me mixed signals. See, that's the same thing we do to God. I'm praying, but I really don't want deliverance. Don't waste your prayer then. What's the sense of blowing hot smoke when you really don't want it? You know what was it? All this, you want the smoke? God said, okay, you want it? Yeah, I'll give it to you. But are you ready for it? Because as soon as you see some adversity, don't come crying and running back. Because I'm going to close those doors real quickly. The resources that you used to have won't be there no more because you keep relying on those old resources. When God's trying to do a new thing in you, all he wants you to do is trust in him. Because there's promises that he already made prior to you that he must fulfill. On purpose. God got to stop being alive. He would have to stop being God if he can't fulfill those promises he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. You can go back and read it. You can go back and study that if you need to. But he already told Abraham, they're going to go in, but they shall surely come out. What he's trying to say, whatever you win, you got to come out. Now, look, here's the thing now. Now, obviously, they didn't get to the promises, but guess what? They did get delivered. Look, come on now. Look at this now. They didn't stay in Egypt. They was in the wilderness for 40 years, but they didn't stay in Egypt because God, he manned up his word. He stuck to his word. Now, it was up to them to fulfill it. Now, all of you here got different circumstances. I understand that, and you understand that more than anybody. But the thing is, what I'm asking you is, what are you going to do about it now? Because I'm putting this right back on you. It ain't going to just be me touching you, and that's going to happen. No. That's not how it's going to work. They had to put some effort into their deliverance. They just needed to be led by. The person came and Moses. I used this illustration before. Come on, follow me real quickly. Just follow me. Get in a line. And get in line. You see what I mean? You see? Look, you see this line? This is it. This is all what it means. I lead the way, but are you gonna kick and scratch and punch and slap and cuss? This is what was happening. But if you divert off and you hold up, one person in the family can hold up the promises. Think about this now. Look, the household. Check this out. Look, I'm not picking on you, but the household, for instance, because when you have intimate relationships with people, what happens is when you get so caught up emotionally with the people, they can hold up the blessing because of the household. So it stains the whole congregation because you are part of the promises. So what happens is everybody starts looking at you because somebody's holding up Jonah. Because he called the community to get to the promises. But if one household, they could forfeit the rights or delay the inevitable. So you got to follow, even though you don't understand. You see, I'm giving you an example of what this is supposed to look like. Y'all keep walking. It's okay. You're not going to trip. Just keep walking. See, that's what you're worried about. You're looking down. You need to keep your eyes up. See, what happens is this is what people do. They look down and they get distracted. They get distracted. What did he tell Peter? You looking down at the waves. Look at me, Peter. Lord, have mercy. You see this? This is the way you're supposed to be. But if adversity stops you, what you going to do? You going to keep stopping or you going to keep pushing your way through? Now, what if the leader stop? What you going to do? I'm depending on my leader. No, you walk around me and you keep moving forward. See, because it ain't based on me. It's based on your daddy. Who put the promises in your matriarchs and patriarchs. Y'all ought to praise God. You asking God to deliver me. Lord, deliver me.
Thank you.
Y'all can take your seats. You see, now, I just gave you an example. It's more to that, but you're going to have to put some effort. No. Just keep, some of y'all need to stay up here and pray. Y'all know it. Come on. Y'all good. I know what y'all playing for. But what I'm saying is that y'all, listen. I gave you an example. You're going to get pushed. You're going to get some adversity. You're going to get some distractions. But you and I got to move forward. We just got to. Listen, other people is dependent on it. The problem is you just don't know who is. So if you stop him, other people are going to stop because they're dependent on leadership. See, come on. Listen, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. We just need somebody to lead us and show us the way. But don't get stubborn thinking, no, that's not going to work. That's your problem right there. Faith works. You just don't see the substance. Oh, man. Yeah, y'all looking at the oil that's going to change it. No, you're going to change it. You're just getting empowered to do it. That's all. That's what's going to, see, that's the problem. The pastor have people believing with this oil, things are going to change. No, I'm just empowering you to go ahead and move forward. Because there's some things you need to change and you got to do it quickly. You don't have all day. You're not going to live no more 400 more years. You got to move. You got to move. Huh, move. Move forward. Move forward.
Thank you, Lord.
Move forward.
Thank you, Lord.
move forward.